Testing 1, 2. April 8th, 1982, talking to Clara Honey at her home in Ruby regarding her father's biography. Okay, this is about photograph number 5 of Clara Honey's collection.
This picture of them coming back from the island cutting wood, that's the year he's talking about. He tried fishing again one more time, but he found out that just mom and the boys were doing all the work, so he decided to give it up. They never went back to fish camp anymore after that. And that was 1967.
And that was the same time Don was helping?
No, it was years before. It was about the time when he was taking care of all those dogs. That's when he wants to be sure that Don's name is included in there. And he said, gee, I don't know if I did that or not, but he wanted to make sure that Don's name was in there, that Don was helping him a lot with the dogs that he was boarding and fishing that summer. Well, Mom and Dad and the boys went up to the mouth of Big Creek, and they cut a lot of logs, and they built a cabin at the camp after that, and that place is still standing right now.
That's something. Boy, he built a cabin while he was...
Yes, well, after he was blind, and Mom helped him. I don't know, the boys and Mom helped him. I don't know how he did that. And then, but Mom and the boys are really young, Billy and Al and them. So Don went up later that summer, and he helped them get the cabin started.
Okay, we're recording now for Clara Honey's addition to her father's book. After reading the book, what's one of the main things that comes to your mind that we left out that's important to you about your father?
I just wanted to comment on some of the things he wrote about. I mean, you know, some of the things he said, like when one of the things was about when he gave us advice when we were growing up. I remember times when we used to go out hunting. He always used to take me out hunting, and while we were sitting around the campfire, he used to give me advice and tell me not to drink or smoke when I grew up, not to use too much makeup or I'd look cheap, advice like that. And then he'd tell me to always to be honest. And I know that I learned that from him too, because when I observed him, how he always used to make his deals with men that he trapped with, and then at the end of the trapping, when I know that he divided the money with them evenly, so I know that he was honest. And when he told me to be honest, I know he lived by it too, and that was really important, and I think that should be printed so that whoever reads it or kids can learn from that. And I noticed that he spoke a lot about credit, and I think that's important too for young kids nowadays to, if they have bills, we try to teach our own children that if they owe somebody anything, we make sure they pay it before they buy anything that they wanted themselves, because it's important to have a good credit, because that was important to my dad. And so we try to teach our own children that people would respect them if they knew they were honest.
So, you talked a little bit, you know, earlier this evening, when I was here earlier, about how good he treated your kids, special things he did.
Yeah, and I remember the times when he used to come to Cochran's after the end of the fur trapping season. He used to bring a big bundle of weasel skins for me, and now when I think back about all that, I know he really loved me just from remembering that. And at that time, it didn't mean nothing to me. All I thought of was the dollar it was going to bring me, and now I think back and I know that he really loved me when he did that, you know, took the time to skin those weasels and stretch them and bring them into Cochran's to me. And I think that was really special.
And you sold those
pieces? Yes, sold them for a couple of dollars, $2 or $3, and I thought that was real big money and I could buy candy bars. And
you said something, too, about toys he made?
Mm-hmm, yeah, every spring when we were out in spring camp. Now, I was just a little girl, he'd make whistles for me out of young willow trees and boats, little boats with the bark off the cotton trees. Those were really special. I really liked that. Every year he'd make them for me.
And you think that he really worked hard for your family?
Definitely. He really worked hard. I know he did. The times he talked about berry picking. I remember when we lived in Mouse Point, where they were fishing there before we moved down here to Ruby in 48. I remember he used to go up in the hills there, and he'd be gone about 4 hours. He'd come home with gas can full of currants or blueberries or whatever kind of berries. Mom would make jelly and jam out of that all day and store it for the winter. And then he talked about Mom, about what a good cook she was. She really was. I remember the best ever meals, but Thanksgiving or Christmas, she used to cook the ducks and geese that they used to put away, store away in the fall time. And she'd soak them, and then she'd roast them and make mashed potatoes from the garden, potatoes from the garden, and relish from the berries that they used to pick and put away. And those were really the best meals. I just can't forget them. I just keep thinking every Christmas or Thanksgiving while I'm cooking my turkey, I'd remember those dinners and wish for them. Because they were really something. I just can't forget those meals and the homemade cakes and pies. And I just...
Do you feel like your mother and your father have been an important influence in your life?
Definitely, yes. Mom never said much, but she was always home, and she always lived her life in such a way that set an example for her children to follow. And she was honest. I remember in Cochrane's, whenever the guys around town had any money, they'd always leave it with her. And today, the guys around here do that to me. I'm sort of a banker. When the guys make a lot of money firefighting, they'd leave their money with me. They trusted me. I mean, they trust me. And now I know from what Dad says that they trusted Mom, too.
Do you remember your father as a storyteller? It certainly seems that he's a storyteller now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of the stories he told here, I remember ever since I was a little girl, he'd tell them off and on. He never changed in the way he told it, but it seems like he just exaggerated, like if he said he killed one or two moose, he'd say he killed four or five moose.
That was his secret.
I think so, yeah. I think it was his secret to make the story better. I don't know. But maybe that's why he's known as a real good storyteller.
But then there's some of his stories that are probably really true all the way
through. Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, they are true. But what I mean is he'd stretch. Yeah, he has a lot of good stories. He didn't even tell half of them in here.
Do you have any particular favorite story of his that you think would be important for young people to hear? Something that they wouldn't know nowadays?
Well, the one that stood out mostly and was the one about how he talked about Mom. I think it's important to, you know, tell good things about your mate or whatever. And then he really spoke nice about Myrtle Marie, was it? Yeah, I think that's really neat. I admire him for that. Because my mom always taught me, whenever I'd say, oh, that guy is no good, or he did this and that, mom would always say, never look at the bad things in others. Find something good about that person and only look at that. And I think Dad proved that when he spoke so good about different people in his story. I think that's important. And about being honest and paying your bills. I'm glad he mentioned that, because we try to teach our children that. And I think that's an important part of life. If you owe anybody anything, to always try to pay it.
You mentioned earlier, too, about how you thought he was really hurt by his father, and that's why he especially...
Yeah.
His family was important.
Uh-huh.
But it looks like he had a really big family, and so did you.
Uh-huh.
Did you really enjoy growing up in a big family?
Uh-huh. Yes, because it taught us to share and do things together. I wouldn't want to be an only child. I'm really glad that we had a big family, because we did a lot of things together. And today we're a close family. And I'm glad I had a lot of kids too. But I know that I hurt my dad once when we, I think in 1951, we let my aunt adopt one of our daughters, one of our babies, and Dad would, he forgave me for it, but it really hurted him. He said that there was a lot of times when we almost went hungry, but he always went out to work for us, and he never considered ever giving any of us away, and it really hurt him. He couldn't understand why I gave one of my children away. Yes, he was. And when he said that about his dad, then I was thinking, oh, now I understand why he was so good to us and why he was so hurt when I did that. Yes, he did. He worked hard all his life, and he really tried to raise us right and give us advice. And I, from time to time, I write letters to him and tell him about it, that I'm glad that he was so strict with us. Now I know that he loved us. And back then, I couldn't understand it. I thought, oh, he's just mean. I'm really happy I had him for a father.
Well, is there anything else that you would like to add?
No, not really.
Yeah,
Yeah, okay, and you could just listen to that and rewrite it. And
it's the end of taping here. We're adding more.
Yeah. I noticed that he said he's jack of all trades. That was true. In Cochrane's, when I was growing up, he was chief, and he was always... the leader, like the, seems like the, when the school teachers had a problem or needed advice, they always went to him. And I remember he was sort of a doctor, like in Cochrane's. Every time somebody got hurt, they would come to our house and get my dad to help them. Even 3 or 4 in the morning, somebody would knock and I'd know somebody got hurt, and my dad would go rushing out. He never complained. And I'm the same way. I guess I just learned from him. I'm the same way. I've been a health aide for 10 years now, and there isn't one person in Ruby who can say that I ever complained. I'm like that. I'm like him. I guess because I saw him doing that. He was sort of the doctor up there, and he had a doctor, real good doctor book that I always studied to when I was growing up. There was never comics, true stories, or any kind of junk to read. And we only had this doctor book, and I read that from cover to cover, and I still abide by a lot of the stuff I learned from that doctor book. I really learned lots from it. So that was, I'm glad he threw that in, that he was a jack of all trades, because he was.
When he used to help people, that was before there were health aides.
Yes, and he even sewed up one missionary's hand, a guy that cut his hand, and he sewed it up.
What kind of things did he have for sewing? He used like
just plain needle. Yeah, and thread. Yeah, I saw him do that once.
Maybe you could tell that little story. You said you mentioned that he there's a lot of stories that he left out, and one of them was about.
Oh yeah, he was coming down the Koyukuk River. He was telling me this story. He said he couldn't forget Mom. She was so beautiful, and he had a picture of her. And he was coming down the Koyukuk River. He was going to Cochrane's to visit her. And he was ratting up there, hunting rats up there, Hoosley or somewhere, Alcacket or somewhere. And he was coming down in the springtime, the water was high, and he was in this canoe, and he was looking at Mom's picture and thinking about her. And he said he was looking at her picture so hard, he wasn't watching where he was going. His canoe hit a snag, and he tipped over and almost drowned. Yeah.